Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu Headlock, dem Pro Wrestling Podcast, hier bei Patreon mit der nächsten Ausgabe unseres Interviewformats Call Up. Und heute sind wir mal wieder in der WXW Wrestling Academy, wie ihr sehen könnt und hören könnt vielleicht auch. Und bei mir heute wieder ein prominenter Gast, nämlich niemand Geringeres als Veda Scott. Veda, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Hope you're doing well.
I am, yeah.
So you decided to have a longer stay here with WXW. How did that come? I think it was the first shows you already had them.
Yeah, I'm here for about 2 months altogether. So it's something like 11 or 12 shows, and then I'm doing some work in England, so kind of going back and forth a bit. When the opportunity came up for me to stay here for a while and have access to the ring and the gym and just kind of like hang out and train, which I travel so much, so I don't ever get to be in the same place for long. Like, it's neat because I get to travel a lot and train different places and work out with different people, but it's been a while since I like was in the same place for
2 months,
even a week, and I could just be really consistent with the same training partners and the same gym and just have a regular schedule. So that's working out really well so far.
It's kind of relaxing, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like a wrestling vacation.
And that, even though you're training with Walter and Timothy Thatcher and stuff.
Yeah, and it's like I said, it's really nice to just kind of be on a regular schedule that doesn't involve traveling every day. Like there's shows every weekend, but during the week it's kind of just training and food and relaxing, and that's nice.
That's good. How's the training here for you? So maybe also compared to the US or wherever else?
I think here they train at different levels, which is pretty common everywhere. So there's a wide variety of people who train. So I've gotten to meet a lot of new people too. There's people at every level, whether they're just still training or they're already wrestling matches. So that's really cool. And with that, you get a lot of different varieties of styles too. It's a really great program.
Okay, how do you see the other women we got here in Germany? And probably you wrestled with Melanie Gray as well. You've wrestled with Killer Kelly.
I tagged with Melanie.
You're right.
I have not had the opportunity to wrestle her yet. So far, we're working well as a team.
but how do you see the women here so far?
Oh, great! I've been a huge fan of Melanie for a long time. Okay. Just from following WXW, I think she's superbly talented. Probably really underrated because I think that sometimes she's not in the conversation where she should be in terms of like European female wrestlers.
Yeah.
Because the UK is so huge right now. Like, England's such a huge scene. I think she's great. Kelly, obviously, I've wrestled her a bunch of times on this tour so far. Mm-hmm. She's awesome. She's someone who came through the training program, so she's very like WXW oriented, and I think it's really cool. She's our first champion, and then of course Toni Storm is Toni Storm. I don't really have to really have to say anything about that.
Not really.
And then the people that they've been bringing in, Martina was here for the first show I was at. I didn't wrestle on that show. I was just kind of visiting. But Martina obviously is Martina. Awesome.
Yeah.
But it just seems like they're really amping up their women's division here, which is great. I mean, it's great for me as a female wrestler, but just in general to see the variety of talent, people they're bringing in, but also people that they're sort of working through, like homegrown talent, like something like a Melanie.
Yeah. How do you see the women's wrestling scene also in England and also in the rest of Europe? Because we had a listener of our podcast who said, oh, don't you think it's kind of a like growing out of proportion that like every promotion has its own women's belt now? Are there enough female wrestlers to have like good women's wrestling in every promotion?
Well, I'm not personally like a belt person necessarily, because I do think that there are times where that can feel limiting in that like it feels like you're having the same wrestlers over and over, but that can be good too, to sort of like have the same people in front of the same audience. But at the same time, so WXW, for example, their women's division, they're really making a point to use a wide variety of people, kind of have not just like the champion and the person she wrestles all the time, which you see a lot of, but have like the champion, and then there's all of these women who are in contention for the title. And I think all of them are, you know, they're working their way up. There's different levels. I think that's a true women's division.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot more places are working towards that, just a variety of female talent where it's not just the same two or three women every month, which, again, can always be a good thing, just familiarity. And just sometimes you just have a home promotion where I have in the States where I wrestle there every month when I'm home. And that's great. But I think that some of the depth of some of the women's division is just getting more and more and more.
Yeah. How do you see the UK market especially? You said that it's booming and you can see that there are like thousands of people getting into to the arenas there.
Yeah.
It's obviously something good for wrestling.
Yeah. In the past year, I've been wrestling, or I guess since the fall, wrestling in England a lot more. I've done a couple stays there and done a ton of matches there. Done some intergender, which I love to do. It's probably my favorite. Okay. But wrestling men, wrestling women, but just in general, the audiences in England are incredible. They're very, very interactive. They love wrestling. Like, they're there to love wrestling. They are fans of pretty much everyone on the show, so you feel super supported when you're there. And there's also really tight-knit fan communities I've found from, like, promotion to promotion. WXW has a lot of that too. Mm-hmm. Where, like, there's their fans who go to every show. Yeah. Or buy season tickets, which is something that's on offer a lot in England. They go to every show. They're all friends. And the thing that they do together is go to whatever, Fight Club, Progress, wherever, yeah. WXW. So there's a community feel to a lot of it too. And for me, that's really fun as a performer.
Yeah. How did you I think you wrestled your first matches here at the Shotgun tapings in Cologne.
Yes.
How was the feel there? Because it was something special since it was the first time at the Shotgun tapings there. How did you like the club itself?
Oh, it was really neat. Having the crowd like right up against the ring. So I remember like back in the day, WXW was the first place I'd ever seen that done. Yeah. Like, I'm talking like years and years and years ago when I was a fan. I wasn't involved in wrestling. But WXW, like, that was the feel of it. So to get to have that, like, for my first matches was really, really cool. That's sort of, like, become more of a thing, I think, other places where, like, the fans are right up against the ring. Yeah. And that sort of, like, I don't want to say party atmosphere, but you know what I mean. Like,
Like
the audience is kind of like part of the show. But WXW was the first place I'd ever seen that happen. And for a while, that was a thing here.
Yeah.
So that was really cool for me to experience that for my first tapings, because I've had it at other wrestling promotions in the States or in England. Like, I've experienced that, but to do it here was really cool.
Yeah.
So great atmosphere for the tapings.
Yeah. And also the Clubbahn of Ehrenfeld in Cologne is like a really small club with this low ceiling. And I think it's always something special. I mean, I'm coming from Cologne. I know this place.
It was neat. Yeah.
So there was always something nice. But as you mentioned, like, you're traveling a lot. And I looked up some of your matches, and I looked you up on Cage Match, and you have like, I don't know, more or less a couple of dozen wrestling promotions that you visited last year and wrestled for them. How does that come from? And there must be some tough schedule for you just to travel a lot and have all these kind of different shows there.
Yeah. So when I got into wrestling, the thing that I wanted the most was just to wrestle and to travel. And trying to figure out like how I could make that happen in pro wrestling, like to do as much traveling. So when I first started, I just was like going everywhere I could in the States that would have me, and just wrestling wherever I could. And I've been really lucky as time has gone on, I've been able to expand that to wrestle more places around the world. And at this point, like, truly, like, my goal is to just as many different places and just experience as many different crowds and work with as many different people as possible, different styles. Like, every country is different. Every state is different. Every part of every country is different. So it can be like a really hectic schedule. But for me, the actual like travel part of travel is fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. All the flying, all the – okay.
Yeah.
Because I hate the sitting at the airport. For me, is the worst. and sometimes you're not traveling alone. And since we have like someone standing behind the camera and making pictures or anything, you've been traveling with Mike Bailey a lot.
I have, yes.
What type of guy is he?
On traveling.
Yeah, what's the worst part and the best part of him?
Oh, he's honestly the best travel buddy I've ever had because he loves the traveling part of traveling the same way I do, like wrestling, just experiencing different cultures, experiencing different places. He lives in Japan, I'd say, about half the time, maybe a little bit more at this point. He does long stays in Japan, so he's used to just being away and kind of being transient, which is sort of what we are at this point. But he loves the traveling part of traveling too, so we get along really well with that. We have like lots of our own little systems for just like packing and things like that. Like, we work really well as travel buddies. He's by far the best road buddy I've ever had.
Okay.
I've had some really good ones. I've had some really bad ones, but he's the best. He's the best.
And what's his like worst thing about Mike Bailey? Does he have any strange ticks on the road? Does he have certain things that have to be there?
Well, he's very strange, but so am I. So I don't think, I don't know. I'm trying to think, is there anything really just like, we're both really weird. Now I'm thinking about it, like things that probably would bother other people, like don't bother me because I do it too. We're both like, we share headphones a lot. I know a lot of people think that's weird. like we have the same like diets basically. Like we eat the same foods. Like he's, like I said, it's a very, very good road buddy.
Yeah.
All other things aside, like he would be very fun to travel with, even if like there was no other like layers to our relationship. But he is. He's has a lot of energy, like a lot of energy. Like he's a, we were just joking about this. He's a like get off the plane, go to the gym kind of guy.
Okay.
And I'm not a get off the plane, go to the gym kind of person. But I'm trying to become that because I know like it's something that I don't love, but I know it's a good thing. So it's not even a bad quality. It's just a, it's a lot.
Okay. And, but this doesn't sound weird to me. So no. Where's the weird part there?
Oh, well, I mean, he doesn't wear shoes to wrestle, but he also doesn't wear shoes in life if he can help it. Like, he has to wear them indoors at shops and things. We both keep mostly vegetarian. Like, I've been vegetarian since I'm 12, so I'm always vegetarian. Traveling, we keep mostly vegetarian or vegan. So we have similar diets. So that's not that hard.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, he's a great travel buddy.
So you,
he probably can think of weird things of mine that I'm not thinking of for him.
I will ask them. how tough is it? You just spoke about nutrition, and since you're traveling a lot, I think it's very difficult to like eat healthy and also to train. How do you keep up with that?
And again, I'm not like the most. Like, I'm not the best person to ask. I'm not, like, as crazy about training and nutrition as a lot of people are, and I really admire that they are, and I want to be that. That's, like, an aspiration of mine, but it hasn't quite happened. But I do okay. Going to grocery stores is probably my biggest thing. Like, when I'm traveling, if you can get the car or wherever to stop at a supermarket and you can buy, like, whole real food versus just, like, fast food or whatever, which I can't really eat anyway. That's probably the easiest thing. As long as we can like stop somewhere and buy like a hummus and a bag of carrots and some kind of tofu, we're good.
Is there something like a guilty pleasure for you where you always, if you know that if I eat it, this is not healthy, but I really love it?
I used to never have a sweet tooth, and then I developed one in like the past couple years.
Okay.
So I like to try like different sweets wherever we are, but like just different snack things, like especially with the traveling, like I'll always justify it as like, oh, but this is a German whatever, like I can't have this anywhere else. Or like in Japan, like all the snacks are adorable. I have to try them.
Okay.
These cookies look like hamburgers. I'll eat them.
All right. So every culture has like his own sweet stuff. So we have to try it out.
Yeah. That's how I justify it. Like it's just trying it because I have to experience it.
Of course. It's part of the culture. It's like visiting the culture and getting to know the culture as well. So that's true. You just mentioned that you liked intergender matches.
Yes.
Why is it so?
Well, I just love wrestling, all wrestling, so I want the opportunity to wrestle everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I close myself off from wrestling men, then I'd be closing off myself off from, like, honestly, 2/3 of the wrestling population, and that's stupid. So there's so many talented people out there, male and female. Like, I want to have the opportunity to wrestle them all. And I love intergender. I love what we can do with it. I like the challenge of it. Because there are different challenges to it. For me, as someone who's small, there's size challenges, there's power challenges. It's just a different sometimes it's a challenge just to even like acclimate an audience to it, and the turning someone who is like, I'm against this, I don't understand it, I don't want to see it, and showing them that like, oh, this is actually very entertaining because it is all just entertainment. I think that's probably the best part.
Yeah. Is that the most difficult part for you as a performer to bring people who say, intergender wrestling, that doesn't make sense for me in a fighting style?
Right, like there's so many, sometimes like that's just going to be the mindset and you're not going to change it, and that's just sort of like whatever. For me, I think that for the most part, I wrestle places that's it's accepted or it's like part of the story or part of the universe, at least of this particular wrestling promotion. So that's great. But there's always going to be people who are like, I don't know, it makes me uncomfortable or whatever. And just to try to present something to them that they're entertained and they forget about the fact that they were like not into this.
Yeah. But it's also the same with women's wrestling itself, because I remember when there was the first women's wrestling here in WXW, for example, people were always like, we'll see. And you had also like some bad chance at times. But I think it also changed with time, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, like, people who are like, ugh, I can't do women's wrestling. First of all, act as if, like, there's one women's match and they're all exactly the same. But, like, there's plenty of terrible men's matches on every show. and it's there's a lot – people are generally a lot more forgiving of that. I think the caliber of talent that's out there right now, if you just step back and just say that this is wrestling and am I entertained by it, then and not just be like, ugh, the girls, then I think it's a completely different experience.
We had Killer Kelly an interview as well here, mm-hmm. And she had some kind of bucket list of wrestlers she wanted to face.
I hate this question. Please don't ask me this question. Because I always feel like
You have to mention someone or why?
Or no, or like I'll start thinking and I can't like come up with all the names because I want to wrestle everyone and then I'll forget and then we'll 10 minutes later I'll be like, I forgot to say so-and-so. Or like I'll start talking about how awesome one person is and I'll only talk about one person. So I don't know. Honestly, if we're talking in terms of the realm of like even just WXW universe, I've never wrestled Toni Storm one-on-one.
Okay.
That is something that I want in my life in general.
Yeah.
But especially if we're talking within like the WXW universe, obviously she's a champion, so that's part of it. But she's also I would really love to wrestle her. I'd be honored to wrestle her at some point. That hasn't happened, at least not in a singles match anywhere yet. So she's high on the list for sure. Like I said, I hate this question because I always feel like I'm not thinking of anyone. I don't know.
Okay.
Everyone, like, there's really, like, I can't think of anyone. Like, I'm all these names are, like, flashing into my head. Then there's always, like, oh, I've wrestled so-and-so, but it was 2 years ago. I want to wrestle her again. Or, like, I want to wrestle her in this kind of match. And it's just, I can't.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah.
You've had different roles in wrestling as well. You started off as interviewer. Mm-hmm. You've been a valet, classic one, or manager, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it, and of course a wrestler as well. So tell me a little bit about the different challenges you're facing in these different roles.
Right. So when I started training, it was as a wrestler, but I ended up an opportunity came up for me to become the backstage interviewer for Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
And at the time, they were kind of on a hiatus from doing women's wrestling, and they ended up bringing it back twice after that. There have been lots of starts and stops there.
Yeah.
But the opportunity came up for me to become a backstage interviewer, and of course I was interested in that. And at the time, I was also wrestling just on the independent circuit on my own. So my plan had been to just do that, to be an independent wrestler and do – Shimmer or wherever.
Yeah.
But the chance came up to become an interviewer. And that was great for me because it introduced me to that audience. And then eventually I transitioned into a manager role, which so then the crowds there already knew who I was. If they didn't know me as a wrestler, they knew me as the interviewer.
Yeah.
So I continued to do that while I was also every weekend that there wasn't a Ring of Honor commitment, I was wrestling. And then when they started a women's division again, that way I was available to wrestle as well. So the transitions were really seamless. It just happened to be – it took time for there to be wrestling available, which was fine because, again, I was able to do it other places every other weekend basically.
So nowadays at least that's what I feel, you don't have too many managers around, maybe because it's for cross issues or anything. Why is it so? Is it just my subjective opinion? Or?
I think so. I think the idea of being a manager like is something that I wanted to learn and take seriously as a role on its own, not just like another thing that I did. I think there are maybe less people these days who are committed to being wrestling managers, whether or not – now, most people you see who are managers are also trained as wrestlers.
Yeah.
Like Bobby Heenan, for example, like is the perfect – is the like epitome of the example.
Oh,
a wonderful wrestler, better manager because he was a great wrestler. But a lot of people are trained to wrestle, but for whatever reason, be it circumstances or just the opportunity, like for me was there, they transitioned into managing or it's something they prefer. I love managing. I would love to do – full-time managing again, like in a consistent – I would want to keep wrestling, but I would love to have the opportunity to go back and do that, like a company – like work part of a unit with someone. I think that maybe, again, it's just – it's not as common like you said. So because it's not as much of a common thing, people don't see it as like an opportunity.
Yeah.
Like you look at someone like Stokely Hathaway, who is, I would say, the top manager in – non-WWE style wrestling right now. He's someone who has become a manager, is a manager on tons of different independent promotions in the United States, and I imagine probably internationally soon. And he has like a group of wrestlers that he manages, a faction of wrestlers he manages. And he's someone who has taken managing and just elevated it back to just like a Bobby Heenan style. Like, this is not just a concession that I do when I'm not wrestling. This is my job, and I'm committed to it. Yeah. And there are some managers like that. I think also it all trickles down from, like, what's on TV. Mm. I mean, there's Paul Heyman, but there aren't a lot of managers on television anymore. Of course, yeah. So, therefore, there aren't as many managers anywhere else because it's just not, like, what people are getting into right now.
Yeah. I think that's a shame, to be honest, because back in the 90s, I really loved all these managers around and all this. You can support characters so good with having
a manager. I love an act. Like, I love a wrestler or a couple wrestlers and then a manager. So I like that sort of cohesive unit in wrestling. I love that cohesive unit in wrestling and just entertainment in general. So I think the more managers, the better, if it works, like if it's a cohesive sort of unit.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm completely on your side there. speaking of maybe a bit of the future, so what's coming up for you? You said like there's a lot of traveling involved, of course.
Yes.
Will you keep up the schedule?
So I'm here for another month and a half. So I'm here till mid-March. Got some other work in England during that time. When I get back, it's April, so there's, you know, Shimmer in the States is the big women's wrestling promotion. It's WrestleMania time, so of course everyone goes down to New Orleans and there's shows down there. So that's fun. I have a bunch of stuff I know booked in the States and Canada, and then I'm looking to be back in Europe and England in the summer. So and then hopefully back to Japan maybe in the fall or sometime around then. So the goal is to just keep traveling.
Okay.
And my brother's getting married in October, so there's some non-wrestling involved.
Okay, that's also something good to look forward to.
Yes. Lots of weddings in October.
What's your favorite wrestling scene if you would rate it? Because you said Europe, UK, US, Japan. Is that something you're really looking forward to the most?
I mean, I love being in Japan. I love Japan in general, and I love the wrestling there. Getting to know the WXW fans has been really cool, and this scene is neat. I love the UK. But there are so many promotions I work for in the States that I genuinely miss being around those fans. So everything – I don't think that there's anywhere that I've wrestled where I've just been like, ugh, I'm never going back.
Okay.
Like there might be individual like promotions or shows, but there's never been like a place where I've been like, never again.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and if fans want to reach out to you, how can they do that?
The best way is on my Twitter. It's at It's Veda Time. And that's what I update the most. Okay. I have a Facebook, but I don't really use it that often. I have an Instagram as well that I link off my Twitter all the time. But really, it's the Twitter. I'm on Twitter all day. Like, I tweet all day. So.
All right. Thank you for your time, of course. And much success with traveling and wrestling, of course. And we're looking forward to having you at WXW and all over Europe and the world again. All right, guys. Thank you for your time. See you next time around.
Yeah.